Hello, thank you for the introduction. I'm Won Gi-jung from Harvard University, and today I'm going to talk about how to visualize large-scale biomedical image stacks interactively. And this is not a one-person job, so actually I work with many people. For example, Jens Schneider from KAUST, and Stephen Turney, Hans Peter Pfister from Harvard University, and also Beverly Falconer-Jones, Clay Reed from Harvard Medical School, and Dominic Mayer and Rüdiger Westermann from Technical University Munich. Okay, so I'll start with explaining histology first. So histology is the study of microscopic anatomy of cells and tissues, which is a major component in biomedical research as well as clinical applications. And the histology can date back to as early as the 19th century, as you can see here in these images. The person on the left is actually a very famous neuroscientist from Spain who first drew neural connectivity in the brain by using a microscope here, as you can see in this picture. I don't know exactly he used this microscope to draw this picture, but this kind of seminal work who first drew these neural images. And now we have much better image techniques and much better staining techniques, so we can get high quality images and high quality textures from these samples. And the histopathology, the process of looking at this microscopic structure of the cell image is actually very important, and the major technique that we use for this process is microscopy. So in this work, I'm going to talk about optical microscopy. As you can see here on the left, there are several types of staining technique to reveal different structures in the cell and tissues. And the typical optical microscopy can give you actually roughly about 1.1 to 0.2 microns resolution in XY plane. And also usual section thickness people use is up to like 5 microns. And the image on the right, you can see the typical optical microscopy. And I'd like to point out that you have like 3 degrees of freedom to use this instrument. For example, you can zoom in and out by changing the lens objective. And also you can translate the glass on this flat bed by hand manually so that you can change the region of interest. And also you can rotate this dial to change focus so that you can change a different focal plane. So let me show you a video. This is a real pathology work. It's being done by a pathologist. She's looking at a skin tissue using a microscope. And as you can see here, she used very special technique by touching this glass with very small tipping-like motion to move this glass on this microscope. So this requires very special skills. And also, she continues rotating style or using left hand to adjust the focus, and also using right hand to change this objective. So this is very special task that only can be done by a specialist. And let me show you another video. This is actually a screen capture of our system tool. So you can see the interactive zoom in and panning, and also interactively change the focal plane. And this is a real-time screen capture. And the data set, the size of the data set, in this case, is roughly about 280 gigabytes. So what we are proposing here is actually we want to do a traditional histopathology process using a computerized tool, as you can see here. The left one is the traditional method, and the right one is the it's very dark, but computerized tool that you can do a similar job using the screen. So the benefits of doing this is basically, first of all, it's very easy to use. As you can see here, you just need to know how to use a mouse. Then you can just drag and zoom in and zoom out very easily using a computer. And also, this system supports a kind of way to archive this data set digitally so that you can come back to the data set later and you can read analysis, do the analysis later on. And also it supports like a collaborative workflow that you can actually work together with different, many different persons. For example, if you use microscope, then only one person can look at the data at a given time. But if you use computer, then you can share the data with many other people. Even you can share the data across networks. So it provides a better way to collaborate. However, there are also some challenges. For example, you have to image the data set. So that means if you use a higher magnification, then the size of the data set becomes really big, up to several hundred gigabyte to even terabyte. And also, we want to have real-time performance so that we can mimic the real microscopy analysis type work. So we don't want to have really a slow viewer, but we want to have a really fast real-time performance viewer. So in this work, we address these two challenges, tackling large data set and also have real-time performance. So one of our approaches, actually, we propose a local adaptive data structure to be able to handle large data set. So the idea is instead of having a global data pyramid that is from a gigantic large single image, actually we create local adaptive data structure per each small sections of the data, and we actually compose everything on demand, on the fly. So I'm going to talk about this later in detail. And the other idea that we propose is actually we do computation on the fly. That means usually image processing algorithms perform this computation directly on the image space. But what we are proposing is instead of doing that, we use a screen space instead of image data space to do the computation, so that we always have constant computational cost, and also it's very independent from the size of the data set. One example is actually we're going to show you interactive image registration using the GPU. And the third component in our work, which is also very important, is texture compression, because this is the only way that we can actually reduce the data size and we can hide the latency between disk to memory. So actually we leverage this some special image type that we have. For example, we have image stack, which consists of multiple images. So we leverage these special types of image to further get the better compression ratio. And also we propose a GPU-based decoding so that we can decode image on the fly on the GPU. Let me start from acquisition part. So the image that you're looking at is a typical glass tissue sample. And this is actually the skin sample stained using so-called H&E staining technique. And we use optical microscope to image this sample. And in this image, actually, you will see very slight green lines that actually defines a small region of interest. That is because microscope can only look at small portion of the image at a given time. So what the microscope does is actually it scans a small portion of image and it moves to its neighbor and also scan the neighbor. So that we have a set of images that we can actually stitch back together to create a one gigantic image at the end. And usually in this process, we use like 5 to 10% overlap between neighboring tiles or images so that we can easily stitch them back later. We talked about an individual image region on this viewpoint, and per each image, actually, we also can have multiple version, multiple scan of the image. The idea is that the middle, actually, this very, very simplified this figure of the microscope. So on the top, you have a sensor, CCD, and on the bottom, you have a sample, which is about 5 micron thick sample on a flat bed. And the idea is you change the focal plane and you make different version of this image. Basically, it is from exactly same X and Y region, but because you changed the focal plane, you have slightly different images. As you can see here, you change the focal plane further down, and even you can further down past the sample so that you can have a different version of the image. And the interesting thing is that these images look very, very similar. But if you look very closely, then it's a little different. It's a little fuzzy or a little clear. But actually, it's from exactly the same X and Y region. So we use the properties to encode the data. So usually, we collect up 9 to up to 16 different slices. So we use different focal plane, focal depth to create different images. Then next step is we construct the data structure. So once we have these image stacks, one image stack consists of multiple images from different focal plane. Then we construct a multi-resolution structure, which is basically similar to Gaussian pyramid, but not on a single image, but on multiple images. That means we create Gaussian image pyramid, Gaussian pyramid for image stack. Then we store this in our data structure, and we name it as the data space. That is because we actually keep all the individual image stack pyramid in this data space, but we don't have any global single data structure. Then how can you visualize the consistent view of this data? What we do is actually we do this on the fly. So the idea is we map each individual tile or image into a single coordinate space, which is we call reference space. And when user zooms in, out, or pans, then we know where the user is looking at. So that is basically the region of interest, which is drawn as white dotted rectangle here. Then within this region, we resample pixel by pixel the data from this image. Let me talk a little bit more about the reference space. So this is a common coordinate system that we map different images. And if you look at this as 2D view, then each image is actually a rectangle on this XY plane, and your current view being region is also a rectangle. But if you add one another dimension, like scale dimension, then you can think of it as a 3D cube per each image. That means, for example, this red rectangle, it was actually a rectangle in 2D view, but in 3D view with the scale, it's a 3D cube where top rectangle is the highest scale and the bottom one is the lowest scale. And that is defined by the hierarchy that we made per each image stack. So far we have the data structure and the framework that we map this local data structure into one single viewpoint. Then we can further extend this idea to propose a new efficient framework, which we call adaptive image hierarchy. The idea of this is basically, instead of scanning the entire region with the maximum highest resolution or highest magnification, we actually scan the big picture of the sample using lower magnification, and we only use higher magnification for region where it is important or region of interest. So this is very similar to adaptive mesh refinement, but we don't have any global data structure. That means we can think of this as on-demand or on-the-fly adaptive mesh refinement. So the idea is, let's say that we have three images captured from different magnification, here red, blue, or green. And the axis on the bottom is the actual XY plane, and the axis, vertical axis is scale. And each image is actually twice bigger than the other. For example, 10x is twice bigger than 5x, or 20x is twice bigger than 10x. I mean, I'm not saying that it's physically big, but actually it's twice more resolution or scale. That means actually number of pixels per each image is exactly the same. But if you map those images into this reference space, then actually the red one, which is 5x image, is the biggest, and blue is about half size of the 5x, and so forth. Then we can set a current viewing region, viewing plane, which is actually a yellow line here between 0 to 1 scale. Then it intersects with a red rectangle here, which is a 5x magnification image. And you can think of it as actually you're looking at this yellow rectangle here. To visualize this region, actually, you only need 5x image. So you don't need to use a higher magnification image in this case. But if you zoom in, then actually your viewing region is getting smaller and smaller. But now you're currently viewplane is actually somewhere between blue and green. And in this case, actually, blue region can cover green region, so we don't need to use green region. We only need to use blue. But outside this blue region, we don't have any data. So in that case, we need to copy the data from the coarser resolution. So in the same manner, actually, we can even zoom in further, and you can visualize using three different resolution images. So by doing that, actually, the cool idea is that actually we can minimize using the memory or disk space, but we can allow deeply zooming into some special region of interest by nesting those images. So let me show you a video. I want to show you a boundary between these different images. So now you can see the nested images. And I turn on the grid, and you zoom in. Then suddenly, you see on the right side is red, and left side green. That means you have two different resolution. And also here, you have two different resolution images. And this grid does not match either. So if you further zoom in, actually automatically turns in the correct resolution image so that you can have a correct image. To be able to align the different images from different scales, actually we need to do some kind of image alignment between images. And usually, traditionally, image alignment has been done on the image space, but what we propose is actually we use a screen space computing grid to do a image alignment computation. So the idea is here you have two different images with different resolution, and you only use inside this light blue rectangle as your computing domain, and the resolution of computing domain is independent from the image resolution. Actually, it is defined by the software. So it is fixed. We use 512 by 512 grid, and we actually use GPU to do rigid registration between two images, which actually minimize the energy between these two, the intensity difference between two images. So we find the transformation, translation, and rotation between these two images. So if you look at this inside this rectangle, you have this little fuzzy image because it's not aligned, but now you have really clearly aligned image. And also the nice thing about this approach is that you don't need to do alignment in advance. That means you can actually do this on the fly while you are actually visualizing these images. So let me show you a video. You have different resolution images here. And user interactive grab one image and bring it on top of the other. And you have a computational grid here. And when you zoom in, you see that it's not aligned well. But soon, boom, yeah, it aligned correctly. And you zoom in further and further, and you refine actually the alignment. So if you zoom in, then it's a little fuzzy, but soon it's going to be clear. So actually, we do this alignment on the fly as you zoom in. So far, I explained the data structure and framework and how we do that. And one of the goals of our system is actually to have interactive performance. So the most important thing is we want to hide latency. And the most important, most expensive part in this memory communication in our system is between disk and memory, because disk is physically very slow. So we implemented like two-level software cache system that hides the latency between disk to the CPU memory and CPU to the GPU memory. And also we applied some prefetching scheme to hide the latency. These techniques work well. However, this does not solve the problem itself. So what we want to do is we further minimize or compress the data size so that actually we reduce the bandwidth between the disk and the memory. Therefore, what we propose is actually we propose a compression and decompression technique using the GPU. So the idea is that we use offline encoder, which is high quality encoder, to compress the data on the disk. And we actually copy the compressed data from the disk to the memory or the GPU. and we decode the compressed data on the GPU on the fly, real time. To implement these ideas, actually, we propose a vector quantization and predictive coding-based technique to encode, and we leverage the similarity between image stack. And by doing that, we have up to 20:1 compression ratio with a reasonably good data quality. So let me briefly explain the vector quantization. So the idea of vector quantization is you cluster similar pixel blocks. So what is pixel block? Pixel block is a set of pixels. In this case, you decompose the input image into 2x2 blocks. Then clustering means, let's say that you have 4 different pixel blocks, and each block is a little bit different from each other. As you can see here, this is a little pinkish, not red, pinkish, and this is a little gray, and this is a little darker orange. But you average those blocks, and you get some kind of average of 4 blocks, which represent 4 pixel blocks. This is a clustering algorithm, and definitely it's a lossy compression because you actually lost some information. But the nice thing about this approach is that decoding is extremely GPU friendly. The idea is that we encode each pixel block by clustering, and we create a code book, which is basically a lookup table. And each pixel block contains one index, and what GPU does to decode is actually look at this code book and just copy this block. So it's extremely parallel, so that it can be done extremely fast on the GPU. And we use a predictive coding. The idea is basically we split or decompose the input image into a base image, which is a prediction part, and a detail image. So as you can see here, this is the input image. Then we can decompose into some kind of blurry prediction image plus high frequency detail image. And then we apply vector quantization on the detail image instead of the input image. That means we can further compress and we can achieve much higher compression ratio because the contrast on this image is much lower than this image. So the question is, how can we predict base image without storing them? There is a standard method to do that, so which is basically similar to wavelet coding or Laplacian image compression. So the idea is that we use average filter to build, for example, Gaussian pyramid like this. So for top and bottom image, actually we build a Gaussian pyramid using averaging downscale filter. Then we actually reconstruct the prediction image using upscale filter, then these two images are not the same. So we compute the difference between these two images. This is detail image, and we compress this detail image using vector quantization method. So what we have finally is actually compressed detailed image and the smallest base image. So we expand this small image using upscale filter and add back this detail to recreate the original image. So this is how we encode top and bottom images in our image stack. That is because we are going to use top and bottom images as a reference image. What I mean by that is to encode intermediate image in image stack, actually we use top and bottom image and interpolate these two images. That is from the observation that the images in the same image stack is very similar. So we can somehow interpolate using linear interpolation using top and bottom image, and we can get reasonably good prediction image. So let's say that this is the original intermediate image. We interpolate top and bottom image using the distance between top and bottom from this intermediate, and we just do linear interpolation. Then these two images are not exactly the same, so we actually find the difference, which is detail. So we encode this detail using vector quantization. And by doing that, actually, we reconstruct these intermediate images using top and bottom images. Decoding is very straightforward. As I explained in the previous slide, it's basically a parallel codebook lookup on the GPU, and it's purely reversing process of encoding step. Performance is basically we use 512 by 512 by 16 stack as one image stack, and disk latency, that means loading compressed image stack from disk to the memory, usually takes about 10 milliseconds, and decoding on the newest NVIDIA GPU takes about 0.6 milliseconds. So think about the HD screen, it's about 2K by 1K, 2000 by 1000 image, pixel resolution. Then we have roughly about 8 tiles, because each tile is 512 by 512. And in this case, actually, without considering any caching or prefetching technique, we can still get roughly up to 10 frames per second. So this is like a cold booting, so we don't have any cache, but we read everything from scratch from disk, and still we can get really high speed. And usually we have cache and prefetching schemes that hide the latency, so it's much faster than this. This is the video clip that you can see interactively changing the focus. The user also moves to the other region, and you can see the focus change interactively. To evaluate our system, actually, we conducted an informal user study. So we asked two pathologists to test our tool. We set up three tasks. One is 2D browsing capability on our software and comparing it to the existing software came with the microscope. And the second task is interactive focus change. So also we compare this with the existing software tool. And the last task is actually comparing the real diagnosis time, comparing our using our method and the real glass-based microscope method. And the results are actually comparing to the existing system, our system is much more intuitive to use and much smoother for zooming and panning, and there's no lag or so delay, so it's much faster interactive system. However, by comparing with the existing traditional glass method, the doctors or pathologists still prefer real glass type method. That is because I think they are not used to use a computerized tool. And also there is some problems of user interface. So I'll talk about this later. This is the video of, visualizing the terabyte brain data using the same framework. Although we didn't use any compression scheme for this data set because we didn't develop a black and white compression scheme yet. That is our future work. But actually we use the same on-demand, demand-driven framework to visualize up to terabyte data set on a local PC using a single GPU. So it's very fast and interactive. Okay, so let me conclude the talk. So summary of the contributions. So we proposed a interactive large-scale histology viewer that can handle up to terabyte data set. And we proposed a new local adaptive data structure, which is based on demand-driven framework. And also we proposed a novel GPU texture compression and decompression technique tailored for our data set. For the future work, we're interested in doing editing. That means actually, so far we have done viewing, displaying large image. But the next step would be actually we think that the editing of large image is a very difficult task, but also important. So we are pursuing that direction. And the second thing is actually we want to build a pathology system using multi-touch path. That means I talked about the user interface before. Currently, the system is based on the mouse. That means user has to click the mouse and move the mouse. So this is very, very, compared to the real glass microscope, is a slow process. But now we have like Apple multi-touch pad or some touchpad device. So we combine this device into this viewer. And if we mimic the process or the technique that pathologists actually use to move this glass on the microscope, then it would be a really interesting system. So we are working on this. And the last thing is we want to use a new device, disk that minimizes the latency between disk and memory. So that concludes my talk, and I would like to thank our funding agencies and Dr. Su Jin-seo from Massachusetts General Hospital. And I'll ask your question.